Fellowship, may his name always be glorified. Tonight, for this morning, I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 6. So I'm going to invite you all to stand one more time. I know it's a little bit of an up and down, but I think it's important to read the word and give respect to the word of God as we read. Romans chapter 6, verses 20 to 23 says this. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Such a beautiful verse, a verse that we all sort of know. I remember growing up as a five-year-old, six-year-old going to Awana, and Romans 6:23 was something that they just hashed over and over and over again. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And so I want to speak on these few verses here today. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we celebrated 4th of July this weekend, and I really hope that everybody had a fun and safe 4th of July. And, you know, independence is such a huge part of not just what we celebrate on 4th of July and what we celebrate in this country of ours, the United States, but it's also such an important part of the gospel message. And so much of our lives and our understanding of the scripture is shaped by how we understand freedom, how we understand independence. And so I'm sure we enjoyed the fireworks, we enjoyed time with family, we enjoyed all the time outside, and I'm sure many of us were very, very thankful for the independence that we have here in the United States. Isn't that right? That the independence that we have to worship freely, to gather freely, to speak a freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom to lift my hands, freedom to sing at the top of my lungs without any repercussions. But this morning, I think it's so great that we're actually also celebrating China. We not only celebrate the independence and the freedom that we have in this country, but we celebrate and experience the freedom and independence that we receive through Christ. And so today I want to talk a little bit about freedom. I want to define freedom. And I want us to understand a key point here this morning, these few minutes that I have, that true independence is dependence on the Lord. Romans 6, verse 20, I'm going to reread it again, says this, "For when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." You know, freedom is so important to the gospel message, so much so that the enemy will try to attack our very fundamental understanding of what it means to be free. The truth is, church, that we will always be a slave or a servant to something, right? Even Jesus says, you know, in one of his parables, in one of his teachings, that you can either serve God or you can either serve money. You have to pick one, right? You can serve one or the other. Paul here in Romans is saying sort of a similar message. He's saying that you can be a slave to sin, but then you're free from righteousness. You know, a lot of times the enemy will try to create a facade to try to get us to think that we are free, but in reality, we are captives. You know, a famous German writer and philosopher once said, "None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe that they are free." It's a very powerful statement. And the issue is prevalent not just on a global or national scale, but it's prevalent in our own individual lives. Because the devil tries to attack our understanding of what it means to be free. You see, in verse 20, the verse that we just read, there is an element of freedom that we do have. we are slaves to sin, but consequently, we are free from righteousness. But freedom from righteousness is not actual true freedom, you see, church. Because if the enemy tries to convince us of that, we can actually be stuck in the bondage of sin. And so when we say to ourselves, I am free, we need to ask ourselves, we are free from what? Not just we are free. And the way we can figure out what we're free from is found in verse 21. Verse 21 says this, but what fruit were you getting at the time from which the things for the things of which you are now ashamed? So the assessment of our own freedom is based on the fruit that that freedom produces. And we see from the Bible that the wages of sin are death. For in the end, Paul says in verse 21, the end of those things is death. You know, in the Old Testament, Jonah was a man who declared his independence. But this was an independence running away from God's voice. By running away from God's calling to go to Nineveh, Jonah was declaring independence from the Lord. And to be fair, God was calling Jonah to do something that's really hard for us to do. To go to a place that you hate, to talk to a people that you hate and have done only the worst of the worst to you, and then also give them a message of repentance and of hope. I'm sure if we all look at ourselves as Jonah, we probably might have responded the same way he did. Really, Lord? You're calling me to do that? You're calling me to go to the people that I hate, that have done nothing but shame me, nothing but oppress me, and give them the gospel, the good news? Jonah ran from Nineveh, but he ran to maintain control of his own life. He wanted the right to decide who God should love. He wanted to decide who God should forgive. And when I look at Jonah, I look and I see myself. And I can imagine that we can all see ourselves in that perspective. I want my own plans for my life. I've said that a few times. I want to make my own decisions. I want to be independent. I want to live life for me. But you see, although Jonah sought freedom from the voice of God, the fruit of that disobedience was a storm, a shipwreck, and in the belly of the whale, he actually became more trapped than he was beforehand. And the only way he was released from that place of bondage or that place in the whale was when he released his pride and his strive for independence and accepted the will of God and did what God asked him to do. You see, trying to turn our lives away from God's voice can lead us itself into bondage. Jonah, in this case, as we read in our theme verse, was actually free in regards to righteousness, but he ended up being a slave to sin, and his fruit was actually bondage. You see, the problem is many of us are like Jonah. Maybe we're not living in outright sin. Maybe we're not living in outright disobedience of the Lord. Maybe we're good Christians that go to church on Sunday, that worship and sing and lift our hands and pray, we tithe. But the Lord wants 100% of our hearts. And this is something I feel like over the past few weeks, it's been a theme and a theme of, again, the issue and the problem and the situation of our hearts. God wants all of our hearts, not just 99.99%, but he wants us to be so obedient to his will that no matter where he calls us, no matter how difficult the battle is, the Lord wants us to obey and to follow. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Living a life apart from God, in rebellion of God, and independently from God can actually bear the fruit of sin and can eventually lead to death, as we read. And so the enemy tries to trick us in that way, tries to make us think that we are free. But if he can't do that, then the enemy will try to convince us that being free is not worth it, that being free is too hard. Let me give you an example. After being in bondage for 400 years in the land of Egypt, the children of Israel had their own declaration of independence. This declaration of independence encompassed 10 mighty plagues. It encompassed the Red Sea being split in two and then miraculously walking through the Red Sea on dry land. I think out of all the miracles in the Bible, a young person once posed this question to me. They said, who would, you know, if you could go back in time and see one miracle from the Bible, what would it be? And for me, it would probably be the Red Sea. I think one of the most magnificent things that like has ever been done, to see just God with his mighty hand and his mighty power make an impossible situation supernaturally possible. And so after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they were free, right? They were no longer slaves. The Lord set them free, and his power was on full display as they did it. Now that's a declaration, right? All of Israel was able in that moment to bear witness to the power and magnificence of God. Exodus 14, verse 31 outlines this. After they crossed the Red Sea, the Bible says this: Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord. They believed the Lord and his servant Moses. But then we see very quickly, just two chapters later in Exodus chapter 16, the Israelites started grumbling against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and they said in Exodus chapter 16, verse 3, would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Right after you have the most magnificent, some of the most magnificent miracles that you've ever seen, the enemy came to attack the Israelites with doubt, with fear, and tried to convince them that, man, freedom's not worth it. It would have been better to be slaves. At least we would have had bread. At least we would have had something to eat. And it's amazing how quickly the Israelites turn from, we believe God and we believe you, Moses, to, that's it. God brought us here to die. But let's not be too critical. Because when I look at the Israelites, I also see myself. And I think a lot of us can see ourselves there too. The problem is, brothers and sisters, is that we are the same sometimes. The Bible is like a mirror. We read the Bible, we read God's word, and through some of the stories, through the scriptures, sometimes we see the condition of our own hearts. Because many times we act the same way. God makes us free from the bondage of sin. And then when we hit the wilderness, the enemy attacks us and tries to convince them that that freedom that we got in Christ wasn't worth it, and that somehow God forgot about us. God, you did such amazing things in my life, but why did you forget me now? Sometimes we say, I feel like I'm alone in the wilderness. God, you brought me into a wilderness in my life. You brought me through a trial, a tribulation. And God, you brought me here to die. You brought me here to be miserable. Those are questions that I've asked myself sometimes. I'm sure some of us might have asked those same things too. But what we need to realize is that true independence is dependence on God. God brought Israel out of slavery so that they can learn how to be dependent on him, because true freedom is found in the Lord. God doesn't promise us that freedom's going to be easy, because the wilderness itself can be very challenging. But what he does say is that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us. He does say that the fruit of the Spirit leads to eternal life, while the bondage of sin leads to death. The truth of independence is found in Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves from God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification and its end to eternal life. True independence is not freedom from trials or tribulations. It's not freedom from God's law so that we can do whatever we want. It's freedom from sin. And that freedom from sin is a gift from God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. There's nothing that I could have done to save myself from sin. It was only by the precious, spotless blood of Jesus Christ that we are free. It was paid with a heavy, heavy price. That price was perfect where I couldn't be perfect. That price was spotless when I was down in my sin. And Jesus died for you and for me so that we can be the righteousness of God, clothed in his holiness and made perfect before the Lord. There's an American phrase, and a phrase in English that we say all the time on the 4th of July. We say, freedom is not free. And this applies to the Bible too. The freedom that we have in Christ Jesus is not free. Someone had to die, and that was Jesus. And we are free from the bondage of sin. So church, John 8:36, if the Son set you free, you are free indeed. Does anybody believe that this morning? Amen. Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Jesus has set us free, and we are called to live in freedom from sin without returning to the bondage of sin. And here's another beautiful verse from Psalm 119, verses 44 and 45. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. And I shall walk in a wide place. Some translations say, I will walk in freedom. For I have sought your precepts. The interesting thing is that keeping the law of God and being sanctified by the Lord and obeying his law leads to freedom. Because true freedom is not being independent and doing whatever I want. It's not about my individual self. It's about relying on the Lord. And we can walk in true freedom when we give our 100%, when we give our hearts to the Lord, and we learn how to rely and submit to the Lord's will. And Israel eventually obtained freedom and walked into the promised land when they relied on God for their provision for every day. And that's where God calls us to be. In conclusion, true independence is dependence on God. When we talk about freedom, we need to think about, I'm free from what? If we seek freedom from God or freedom from righteousness, we end up with fruit that leads to death. But if we seek freedom from sin, we end up with fruit that leads to everlasting life. And so the enemy, remember church, will try to get us to trick us into thinking that we are free, but then we end up being slaves to sin. And if he can't convince us of that, he will try to attack us and convince us that being free is not worth it. But church, freedom was worth the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we are set free because of him. So church, as we continue this weekend, we have another day, and we think about the 4th of July and independence and freedom, and praise God for the beautiful country that we live in. May God bless it. May God bless all the people that are in charge. May God, you know, really, you know, just intervene in our country, because our country, although we're free, needs a lot of work. But also, let's reflect and remember the freedom that we have in Jesus. Can we do that? Let's all stand together in this moment. And I'm going to invite us all to enter into a time of prayer, if that's okay. And just really, let's go before the Lord and let's thank the Lord for our country, for the freedom that we have in this country, in the U.S. Let's pray for our leaders in this next moment. That's something that I had on my heart too. but also to come before the Lord and prepare our hearts for China and say, Lord, thank you for the freedom that we have in you. Thank you for the blood that was shed. Thank you for rising again on the third day. And thank you for giving us everlasting life. Let's all go before the Lord and let's pray.